So text 29. Pibarshi rupanyavabodha atma. Kemaya lokasya characharasya. Sadvo prapanani sukha vahani. Satam vibhadrani mahukalanam. Vibharshi, you accept Rupani, varieties of forms such as Matsya, Korma, Varaha, Rama, and Nrsimha. Avabodha Atma. In spite of having different incarnations, you remain the Supreme, full of knowledge. Shemaya, for the benefit of everyone, and especially the devotees. Let's try that again. For the benefit of everyone, and especially the devotees. Lokasya, of all living entities. Chara acharasya, moving and non-moving. Sattva upapanani, all such incarnations are transcendental. Shuddha sattva, sukha avahani, full of transcendental bliss. Satam, of the devotees. Abhadrani, all inauspiciousness or annihilation. Mahu, muhu, again and again. Kalanam, of the non-devotees. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you are always in full knowledge, and to bring all good fortune to all living entities, you appear in different incarnations, all of them transcendental to the material creation. When you appear in these incarnations, you are pleasing to the pious and religious devotees, but for non-devotees, you are the annihilator. Purport. This verse explains why the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as an incarnation again and again. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all function differently, but their main purpose is paritranaya sarunam vinashaya to diskritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Yet even though the diskritis or miscreants are annihilated, this is ultimately good for them. So we may note that when Krishna comes, he has a purpose. He doesn't wander into the material world and then make his own plan while he does his pastimes because he didn't have time in the morning to write down his schedule. So he just does everything, because he's on the spontaneous platform, he just does everything spontaneously. Generally, he comes and he protects the devotees and annihilates the miscreants, but sometimes, to make things a little bit more interesting, he annihilates the devotees and protects the miscreants. No. No, Krishna has a purpose, and he has a purpose statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tadiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. In order to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, I advent myself millennium after millennium to reestablish religious principles. So Krishna has three things he does. He protects the pious, number one. He annihilates the miscreants, number two. And he reestablishes religious principles. So that's all he comes for. He doesn't think, I've been doing this eternally, I'm getting a little bored, doing the same thing over and over again. I think this time I'm going to come and go to Disneyland, see what's happening there. See if I can get a little bit of happiness in this world. No, we can expect in Bhagavatam, since Bhagavatam deals with the Mahajans, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlada, Kapilomanu, Kumara, Kapilo, Prahlada, Janako, Bhijmo, Vayera, Vayasakira, Vayam. So it is Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilomanu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhijmo, Vayera, Vayasakira, Vayam. Does anyone know who the 12 Mahajans are? Yes. Oh, let's give others a chance, because you're the scholar here, so. But we'll let you say the first three.
Manu?
No, the first three.
Well, I don't remember that.
I'll tell you again. Swayambhu. Who's Swayambhu?
Who
is it? Swayambhu. Who was born by his, without a mother? You know anyone in the universe who was born that didn't have a mother? I'll give you a hint. He was born from a lotus flower.
Vishnu.
Yes, Rama, that's right. Sorry. And who's Narada? What's that?
His son.
Yes, but Narada Muni. And Shambhu? Anyone ever chant Shambhu before you join the movement? Who's Shambhu? Lord Shiva, yes. Kumara, who's Kumara?
Four Kumaras.
Kumara, Kapilo. Kapila. What? Kapila.
Son of
Devakuti. Yes, Kapila. Manu. Here you go, Manu. Who's Manu? Manu.
Yeah, I know Manu.
What's that? Again, it's Manu. Swayambhu Manu. Okay. Prahlada. Who's Prahlada? Who's Prahlada? Yes, Prahlada. Prahlada. Janaka. Who's Janaka? Who's father who? Sita, yes. Bhijma. Who's Bhijma? Grandfather who? Yeah, the Pandavas. Vayor. Who's Vayor? Who's Vayur? It's not a person, it's referring to who?
Yamaraj,
yeah. Vayasiki? Yeah. Vayam. Who's speaking? Who did we leave out? Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilomanu, Vayar, Vayasika, Vayam. Prahlada Janakovich, Bailir. Actually, the first one is Bailir. That's Bali Maharaj. Vayasaki. And then Vayam is who? Yamaraj, yes. Because he's speaking. We. He's referring to we. Or us. Or him. Me. So these are the 12 Mahajans. The whole Bhagavatam is all about the 12 Mahajans. And who else is the Bhagavatam besides the 12 Mahajans? Who else is there in the Bhagavatam? Yes. I think you all knew that, right? Yeah, and as it says here in his different incarnations, which are all function differently, obviously Nrisimha Dev, where we're going to celebrate his appearance day, his activities are slightly different from Krishna's. When he breaks out of the pillow and he sees Hiranyakashipu, he doesn't start playing on a flute. And when Krishna sees Radharani, he doesn't put her on his lap and bifurcate her. So there is some difference in their activities. And yet they're the same person. We may wonder, Krishna seems like a nice person. He plays his flute, he dances with the gopis, and then sometimes he gets into a bad mood and he starts tearing people in half. We hope when we meet him, he's in a good mood. Or else we need a good Ayurvedic physician nearby. No, Krishna has all these different moods, but he's all one. He's always the same personality, but he displays them accordingly, appropriately. So Krishna has a mission, but when he performs a mission, it's done appropriately. Krishna has discrimination. That's one of the ways we can understand that God is a person, an intelligent person, because he discriminates nicely. He knows what's appropriate. For instance, when he has to support a boat, in what incarnation does Krishna support a boat?
Matsya.
Matsya, he supports a boat. How does he support the boat? What form does he take? A fish. So Krishna takes the form of a fish. Now we can't do that. If we had to hold up a boat, we wouldn't be able to hold it up for very long. The boat would maybe be there, but we'd drown. But Krishna takes an appropriate form, that of a fish, in order to perform his activity. So all the incarnations are all appropriate, and they're appropriate to have a particular pastime with his devotees. But it's always the same purpose in all the pastimes, then the same purpose is fulfilled. And as it says here, for a materialist who sees these pastimes, he wonders, why does Krishna change his mood all the time? He claims he's the friend of everyone. Why does he shoot arrows into Ravana and kill him if he's his friend? Is that what friends do to each other? Yeah, because he had three births as a demon, and Lord Ramachandra wanted to bring him back to the spiritual world as soon as possible, because that was the giant Vijaya's wish. Similarly, when Arjuna, in the verse, Prabhupada says, Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma koravana nilalipite. Those who work in devotion, who are yoga yukta vishudatma, what does vishudatma mean? What's that?
Purified.
Yes, completely purified. V is an intensifier. So it means shuddha is pure, so very pure, completely pure. An Atma, a completely pure soul, completely in Krishna consciousness. So yoga yukta, what does yoga yukta mean? What does yoga mean? It means you put your foot behind your neck. That's where you become a pure soul. Is that right? That's the process in this age? What does yukta mean? What's that?
Connection.
Connection, yeah. Yoga means connection, and connection through devotional service, connected with Krishna. Vijitatma, what does Vijitatma mean? What does Jita mean? And win over what? Jita, Vijitatma. To win over the senses. Atma can also mean the senses. Controls his mind and senses. Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatna jitendriyaha, who's conquered and won over his mind and senses. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma, for all living entities, koravan natni lilipite. Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatna jitendriya, sarva bhutatma bhutatma koravan natni lilipite. He's a friend to all living entities. And all living entities are friends to him. Though he's working, such a person is not entangled. So Prabhupada asked the question, if Arjuna was so pure and such a good friend to all living entities, and everyone loved Arjuna, then why was he killing people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? A lot of people. Mass murderer. Really a mass murderer. So how is Arjuna acting as a friend by shooting so many arrows into people? Is that how friends act towards each other? Everyone is puzzled. Well, that was good, you know. Oh, Arjuna, thank you. I hope religion flourishes now, but this is a little painful. So how was Arjuna a friend by shooting arrows into people? Yes, it was Krishna who did it. Arjuna would like to be everyone's friend, but you know, he has his friend called Krishna and he gets him to do all kinds of things. Yes?
Because the Lord said that by his arrangement, everything is already arranged.
So Arjuna is just an instrument. He was actually liked everyone, but Krishna told him to kill everyone, so he was just a helpless instrument. Oh, Krishna, why do you have me all this? How is Arjuna being friendly by killing people? What happened to the people after Arjuna shot them? Yeah, at least they went to the sun planet or they went to Vaikuntha. Is that a bad thing to go to Vaikuntha? So Arjuna was actually sending them to a higher destination. If someone came along and gave you a ticket to Vaikuntha, would you think they were friendly? So Arjuna gave them a ticket to Vaikuntha. Otherwise, or at least to the sun planet, which is very hard to obtain normally. So that way he was being quite friendly to them. So Arjuna had the same purpose statement, fulfilled the same purpose statement as Krishna. He protected the devotees, he annihilated the miscreants, and he reestablished religious principles. So that one who is Krishna conscious, he does the same thing that Krishna does, and he doesn't do anything else. He knows what's to be done, and he knows what's not to be done, and he does what's supposed to be done, and he doesn't do anything that's not supposed to be done. He knows what his business is, he knows what his business isn't. He does his business and he doesn't do what his business isn't. And the only thing he asks is two questions. What is my business? And how's business? So when Krishna was Kalyavana, who is Kalyavana? Kalyavana was one who killed the snake. Kali, that was Kali. Kali is serpent. But who's Kalyavana? Anyone here read Krishna book anytime? Oh, it's a good book to read. We recommend it. It should be on everyone's top 10 reading list. What's that?
It's named Kalyavana or Kalyavana.
Yeah, Kalyavana. Kalyavana. Who is he?
He attacked Mathura with 23 Akshakinis of
Sushas. It was actually 65 Akshakinis. 30 million Yavanas. And what did Krishna do?
He just walked and he couldn't touch him.
Yes. Krishna walked away. And what's that?
Without any arms.
Yeah, Krishna just walked away and Kalyavana followed him and Muchakunda, he kicked Muchakunda and Muchakunda woke up and he annihilated him. He burned him to ashes. So Krishna liberated Kalyavana by his mercy, but he didn't. Kalyavana had gotten the benediction that he couldn't. He'd become a menace to the Avanas, to the Yadus, and that Krishna would not be able to kill him. So then Krishna didn't kill him. He had Muchukunda kill him. So Kalyavana, he didn't get the same benediction that the other demons got, because he wasn't killed by Krishna. He was killed by Muchukunda. So he was less fortunate than even his followers. Krishna came and he annihilated his followers. Anyhow, Krishna always has the same purpose, and if we expect that anything, that, and if we reach Srimad Bhagavatam, we can hear that purpose again and again and again, and maybe we'll become interested in fulfilling the same purpose, and that's our development of Krishna consciousness, to find out how the purpose is. Krishna was very happy because he got to kill 30 million Yavanas. That's why he didn't kill Jarasandha right away, because when Jarasandha attacked with, I think it was 18 Akshahinis of soldiers, it was less than that. In any case, Jarasandha attacked with all these soldiers, and Krishna had three choices. Either he could kill Jarasandha, or he could kill his army, or he can kill his army and Jarasandha, both of them. So Krishna decided to kill only his army and annihilate his army. Why? Yeah, so he could bring more armies. So Krishna didn't have to bother going all the way to Magadha, and because Jarasandha would bring these demons to him and he could kill them once they came. So it was very convenient for Krishna. He could stay in his city. And you know, he could fulfill his purpose by having Jarasandha bring the armies to him. So very intelligent. And he knew what his purpose was, and how was his purpose? He felt he was fulfilling his purpose, killing all these miscreants. That's why he came. Krishna came here specifically to dance with the gopis and to protect his servants, his devotees. At the same time, he wanted to annihilate the miscreants, so he made all these arrangements so the miscreants would come to him and he could kill them all. So very intelligent. And how did Krishna reestablish religious principles? Anyone know? What's that? Speaking Bhagavad Gita and showing the example of by marrying 16,108 queens. And showing a perfect example of household life. So many ways to reestablish religious principles. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Do we have a microphone? Yes. Here.
Gurudev, I'm wondering about one thing that I was reading Nectar of Devotion, and in that it mentions about you know, the material science, that even materialistic people, like some yogis, they are doing this materialistic things, like they can just sit somewhere and they can extend their hands to another planet and eat the fruit from there or some other place.
Well, they got to bring the fruit first. Like when they extend their hand to the other place, like Prabhupada gives the example of he had a spiritual master who said his spiritual master could extend his arm and bring pomegranates from Kabul, but he had to bring them to where he was, otherwise his hand couldn't eat the pomegranate. He couldn't eat it there, he had to bring the fruit back to where he was. But anyhow, it's a good yoga. Especially if you like pomegranates, it's really good to have that mystic power.
Okay.
So, Srila Prabhupada is also giving other examples of how they can enter the cave, just like now we can do underground or something like this. Enter the stones, that one.
Enter the stones. Yeah.
Enter the stones, and then how one can fly on the air, this one. So these different kinds of yoga, mystic powers like this. So even the materialistic people have, the scientists have achieved these kind of things. But then also Prabhupada mentioned that they also could enter the planet moon. So I was just wondering,
who can enter the planet moon?
It was mentioned that that they can enter even the moon planet. It was somewhere there. I read it.
I don't know.
I can show you.
Okay, I believe you. So what's the question?
The question is that one cannot enter. Because it's kind of, because one place Prabhupada said they cannot enter because
time, place, and audience. I don't know about the moon. But anyhow, Prabhupada said different things about them going to the moon because Prabhupada wasn't interested in, he did establish that they didn't go to the moon because they said there is no one living there. But according to the Bhagavatam, the moon is a heavenly planet. So if they went there and they claimed that there was no one living there, there's a contradiction between their observation and what the Bhagavatam says. So Prabhupada was adamant that they never went to the moon. But then in other places, rather than get into a conflict with people, because it's a useless argument, that doesn't really matter whether they went to the moon or not, we still have to chant Hare Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada would sometimes say different things, like maybe they went to the moon but they didn't have the vision to see the people there, or maybe they went to Rahu. So Prabhupada wasn't so adamant that they went to the moon that he would take away from his preaching. His main thing was to get people to chant Hare Krishna, not to doubt whether they went to the moon or not.
Because I was just thinking, of course it was according to time, place and circumstances. But even just to go to any planet, one has to have that particular type of body to be able to enter that planet.
Yeah, so they didn't go there. But anything else? Hvala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.